Welcome to Real Money with David Holland, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. Unlike a lot of radio and TV personalities, David is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of financial experience. And because he actually provides advice to clients on a daily basis, our hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He also offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Holland Advisory Services and Holland Insurance Services are separate affiliated companies that share common ownership under Holland Financial. Commentary given during this radio program is usually pretty smart, but should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities should not be considered an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and financial planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual's situation, only if you hire David and his firm to help you, and only available where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. And now, brace yourself. Ladies and gentlemen, here comes the unfiltered truth about money, investing, and retirement planning from a man who will give it to you straight. No bias and no spin. Here he is, David Holland.
Welcome to the program, ladies and gentlemen. All right, it is time to mind our P's and Q's. It is time for us to talk about etiquette. Etiquette in our personal lives, etiquette in the workforce, in business. A lot of folks that listen to this program are either an employee of a company or own a company or interact with other folks in their lives. We're not in a bubble. We interact with other people. So I thought it'd be very interesting for us to bring in an expert on the subject, a business etiquette consultant, trainer, and speaker, in one Rachel Wagner. Rachel, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much for having me on, David.
It is my pleasure. And I've confessed to Rachel before we started the show that I find this subject very interesting. And I was reading books on this when I was supposed to be studying for the CPA exam 20-some years ago, because I found it an interesting distraction. But I just think this is something that in the world we live in today, where technology and tweets and text messages and all sorts of other things have changed the way we communicate, is it too much to ask for just some basic etiquette from other people?
No,
and from ourselves?
Absolutely, we need that.
You know, and again, the text is probably the easiest example, or even an email communication I've noticed. You know, back when email first came out, you know, you wrote it like you were writing a letter that was going to be mailed. You took time to write it. And then with the introduction of all the shorthand versions, emails have gotten really sloppy and just not the same. I don't know. It's just not the same. The technology is supposed to make things better, but I hope we don't lose something in the process. What do you think, Rachel?
Absolutely, David. Sometimes we, just because we have technology, the thing is people don't often get any formal training on how to use the technology, so they tend to do what they see someone else do or what they just want to do. And oftentimes that comes across when you're speaking about the emails, especially in business. A lot of times when people write those too casually or too sloppily, that's often what gives a first impression of someone. And those emails need to be written in a way that really is like what we would call a business letter, because
yeah,
it really is like a business letter, since people don't send those as much anymore. So it really does give an impression of the person, and that person is a reflection of the company or the firm that they work for. So those emails are very important to have look very professional.
And we still very much form our first opinions, and those tend to kind of lay that basic perspective or perception of the person, that, you know, kind of the wiring of our brains when we think or see that person. So it's still very, very important to try to make that first great impression. And, you know, one of the things that you spoke to, and I know is on your short list of things that we need to be careful about, especially now that they're much smaller, and before you know it, we'll be wearing them literally, and that's the cell phone.
Mm-hmm.
So give us a good overview. And before I continue, ladies and gentlemen, etiquettetrainer.com is a website where you can go and get a lot more of good information from Rachel Wagner, because this is what she does. So cell phone use, do's, don'ts, and of course, 41 states now, you're not supposed to be texting in the car, but we're still using our cell phones. So what do you say to us about our cell phone use?
Well, I'd like to really respond to that as well as specifically cell phones in the workplace.
Okay, good.
You know, first of all, cell phones are ubiquitous. Everyone seems to have one. And again, people don't receive any formal training of how to use them, so they just tend to use them everywhere. So let me just respond to a couple of things. Let's first maybe talk about cell phones in the workplace.
Good.
The thing is, you know, people are busy and sometimes have to take their personal cell phones to work because you need to check on a family member, you need to change a doctor appointment, you need to let your spouse know you're coming home late or whatever. So first of all, I believe cell phones can be used appropriately in the workplace. But there are times when, you know, you don't want to give the idea that you're doing personal business all the time on your cell phone. So the thing is, when you use them in the workplace, to be discreet, you don't want to distract others. So, for example, if you work in a cubicle, you want to try to go to a private place to make your call, whether you're checking on your elderly parent or to see if your child got home from school on time, because it's distracting to people if you're making a personal call and talking loudly on your cell phone.
That's very good.
Right. And then, of course, you want to keep your personal cell phone calls to a minimum and as brief as possible, because, again, you don't want to appear that you're unfocused on your work to your boss or to your team or departmental people.
I'm glad to say, you know, just anecdotally here, Rachel, that at my office, we don't have a problem with that. You know, everybody's allowed to have their cell phones. We don't put them in a basket when people check in. But, you know, they exercise a great deal of discretion and self-control, and it's only when they need. And fortunately for me, it's not an issue.
Well, that's great. And probably, David, you're setting a great example yourself. And people tend to follow the example of their leaders. So when you're setting a great example, then it helps others. It sets the tone for the others. And I think it's important in a workplace like yours, like what you're doing is a great example. People aren't abusing it, so they know that they have that freedom. If we do need to make a call, we can do that.
Absolutely. If you need to make a call, make a call.
Right, because you understand that people have a personal life that can't be done always after work or before work.
Now, if you've got somebody, though, that is, let's say, you know, somebody listening to the program, I'm sure there's more than one, they've got that coworker that just doesn't seem to know how to conduct themselves. They're loud on their cell phone. Is there a polite way, and I'm betting there is there a polite way to have a conversation with them to try to help them and also, you know, keep it from being a distraction for you?
Right, well, people mostly know to turn their phones off in a meeting, but when you're having that face-to-face conversation with someone and they tend to glance at their phone or check a text, in fact, I'll say I recently did a poll on this with my social media contacts with LinkedIn and Facebook, and I said, what is your worst pet peeve that people do with cell phones? And the number one thing that people got back to me on is that people are always looking at their phone. You know, it's like, it's like almost like a nervous habit because they have the phone.
It is.
They
it is.
Look at it. And sometimes they maybe don't know how to make small talk and they just tend to look at their phone. But on the other hand, if they are having a conversation with you and they seem distracted by their phone, here's what several executives have told me. They will say, because they get annoyed with this too, and they said they will actually stop the conversation, look at the person, you know, they'll pause, not even continue talking. And all of a sudden, that person that's looking at their phone gets it, and they realize that that conversation isn't going to continue until they put their phone away, and that conversation is focused back on 100% on that person across from them.
I get that, and that'll definitely work from a boss or from a, you know, that kind of standpoint. What about just a coworker, though?
Well, I think sometimes we're afraid to communicate, but sometimes we just have to be upfront and say, you know, I would like to be able to finish this conversation because I need to get back on another project. So if we could just finish this conversation before you do your phone calls, that would really help me out with efficiency and getting my work done.
You know,
it's okay to say that to people. And people, if they're offended by it, then maybe it helps them to realize that they maybe have an issue with that because this is such a common thing.
Help me help you. I like that.
Exactly. Exactly.
Well, Rachel's helping us. Rachel Wagner is our guest today, business etiquette consultant, trainer, and speaker. Lots of good stuff at etiquettetrainer.com. Quick break. We'll be right back.
Have you noticed most of the financial literature available is either so specific it doesn't apply or too generic to answer even the most basic questions? This revelation inspired David Holland to write his first two books, Confessions of a Financial Planner, Secrets to a Secure Retirement, and How to Get Great Advice and Avoid Financial Scams. These how-to guides contain easily accessible information on a wide variety of topics concerning personal finances. An effortless weekend read, you'll find clarification on what a mutual fund is, how to choose the right financial professional, and much more. Call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN to request a free excerpt from David's first book, Secrets to a Secure Retirement. The number again is 888-747-7526. Or visit davidholland.com for more information on this innovative book series.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen. Rachel Wagner is our guest. She is a business etiquette consultant. So if you're listening to this program, you say, you know, I need to get somebody to come in and talk to my team because I want them to be polished and polite and do things the right way, interacting with my customers, you can go to her website, etiquettetrainer.com, and get more information. You know, before we get back into some of the nuts and bolts of the cell phone use and some of the other things, I have to share kind of a quick story because I want to, and you can comment on this, Rachel, is that one time I was in an attorney's office and, you know, we were having a meeting and he had a call come in that he had to take and he was very polite about it. And then I heard him talking. The attorney was involved with defending somebody who was being prosecuted. And I had just never witnessed such a polite and just professional way of someone handling themselves. And I could tell it was having an impact that was helping his client significantly. He was getting something done with such a fantastic display of etiquette and politeness. I mean, this stuff really works.
Absolutely. When people have the etiquette, especially in business etiquette skills, it really, one of the things it really does, it helps put the other person at ease. When you are using proper etiquette and proper manners and proper respect and courtesy, whether it, you know, in a situation like that or any business situation, it just really puts the other person at ease and it helps you to build that all-important rapport and trust with people.
Yeah, and it just shows people. I think one of the biggest things it does, and I know this is obvious, but I'll say it anyway, is it's respect.
It is, absolutely.
And we like people that respect us because, one, it's part of our culture, but it's also, it plays really close. You respect somebody. And if somebody respects you, you feel important. And boy, do we all want to feel important.
Right. We want it because it's important to let people know that they are important and valued to you. And that's really the essence of business relationships, too. David, as you know, it's when people feel important and valued and that you can trust them, then that's the kind of people who want to do business with you.
Very good. Very good. Well, okay, now let's get, I had to share that because when we were talking, that you made me think of that. Go back to maybe a couple more things on the cell phone. If we look just beyond the workplace, are there places that are, you know, where we need to be careful? Nobody's never really said don't do this, but there are certain places where we absolutely should not use a cell phone.
That's a really good question, and one of the places that you've probably noticed as well as I have is in restaurants. First of all, number one, I always tell people, your cell phone is not part of the place setting. It doesn't go on the table.
True.
But even more than that today, I'm amazed when I sit down in a restaurant and I look across at a table of maybe four or five people across from me, and they're all focused on their phones. You know, maybe they've ordered, they're waiting for their food. No one is talking because they're all scrolling through their phone.
If you want to talk to them, you send them a text.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like, what has happened to our casual conversations across the table?
Makes you wonder what it's going to look like in 10 or 15 years, doesn't it?
Right, right. People will actually come to me more because they'll have to learn how to talk to each other and make small talk. But the thing is, you know, it's like, where did people get that idea that you go and sit down in a restaurant and you just focus on your phone instead of the people that you're with? So I certainly would love to see more people realize that it's important to put the phone away in a restaurant or any type of setting. In my one of my sessions I teach on networking etiquette, one of the things I teach when you're at a business, social, or a networking event, definitely don't get your phone out. Make sure it's turned off because you're there to focus on others and build relationships.
No, that's good. That's good. Well, you mentioned, and you're exactly right, you're there for a reason. You're not, I mean, if you're going to be just playing with your phone, you can do that somewhere else. If you're there to make contacts or you've got a specific business purpose, then get to it. Put the phone away.
Exactly.
But you mentioned something that, and I will confess, is I'm not the best at, is making small talk. Okay, so I'm going to jump on the couch here for a minute and you can help me. Help me and help others. You know, sometimes you interact with people and you don't know them. You're not sure what to say. How do we make small talk?
Well, you're right, David, and it's a skill that a lot of people have anxiety about. They're afraid of small talk because they're not sure how to do it. But it's a real important skill in business as well as to be even socially savvy when you go to any type of social event because it's how we get to know each other. It's what breaks the ice. So I tell people if you want to really connect and build rapport with others, the main thing you have to remember with small talk is that you want to be interested in others. I mean, that is the bottom line. Number one key to making small talk, being interested in others, ask them questions about themselves, keep the spotlight on them. because I'm sure you can guess what the number one small talk killer is, and that's people who talk about themselves.
The me monster.
Right. The people that are, it's all about them. We've all met people like that. They go on and on and on. So first of all, don't be that person. Be interested in others. And usually that brings the next question of, well, what kinds of questions do we ask people about themselves to get a conversation started? And first of all, you want to keep in mind that you don't want to just ask yes or no questions, because if you ask a yes or no question, you just get a short answer, and that doesn't keep a conversation going. So think about asking what we call open-ended questions. And open-ended questions are the questions that begin with who, what, when, where, how, why. Let's say, for example, you just met someone at an event and you just learned that someone introduced you and said they just moved to Florida. So you might use an open-ended question that would go like this. Well, what brought you to Florida? How did you get into this line of work? Mm. What are you the most passionate about in your work? That's a really good question, too, because people can share a little bit more. And, you know, as you are asking these open-ended questions, of course, you're being interested in that person, but the other part of that is you have to be a very good listener, because if you're not listening well, you don't know how to respond to that what they're sharing, and then you're not keeping that conversation going if you ask something totally unrelated. So it's important that you are being a good listener at the same time that you're asking those good open-ended questions.
I think the other thing, we're not advising people here, and you're the expert, Rachel, but we're not advising people here for this to be a gimmick. All of what you're saying, you know, the underlying thing here is to be sincere about it. You really do want to know. You really do want to meet. This isn't some trick, but is to be able to engage and have a real conversation.
Absolutely. And the thing is, you have to just be you. Now, being you is fine, and anyone can learn to ask open-ended questions, because let me just back up and say, making small talk is not a skill that most people are born with. A few people are. Most people have to learn this skill, and that's the good news part of it, is that it is a skill that people can learn with practice. So when people think ahead of time about who maybe they're going to meet at a particular conference or event they go to, then think about the types of questions you might want to ask and just kind of have some of those in your head. Then once you ask those questions sincerely and you're interested in that person, before you know it, you're going to find some common thread. Let's say, for example, you found out they just moved from Dallas, and you might say, well, I just moved from Dallas. Oh, really? Well, what do you miss about Dallas? You know, and all of a sudden you've got this great little conversation going. I say it's like playing a game of pitch and catch.
Yeah.
You ask open-ended questions, and you have to answer. Be a good listener, then you answer. And you've got this little pitch and catch game going. And before you know it, you found something you have in common. And the thing is, people think in small talk it has to be all about business. No, it can be other things. You can even sincerely give someone a simple compliment that can lead to a very engaging conversation. For example, let's say you're standing in a registration line at an event, and you just notice someone has this really great watch on, you can say, oh, I really like your watch. And they say, oh, well, thank you. Then you can introduce yourself, and the person might say, oh, I got it in Germany last summer. Oh, really? Well, I was in Germany last summer, too. And then before you know it, you know, you've got this little engaging conversation. You're making small talk just by a sincere, simple compliment.
Well, it's so fun. I had something similar happen to me. I was in Publix the other day, and I was checking out, about to walk out the store, and a guy yells across from like four lanes over, I love your column, because I write a financial column for my local paper. And I was like, that is so cool. So that was the ultimate conversation starter, right? And
exactly.
So I went over and said hello, and it was, you know, it was really nice. And so he had my card, and he was going to call me and want some help. But well, it's fascinating stuff. Rachel Wagner is our guest, and I got to get myself off the couch. Remember, I'm hosting this program, and I love what Rachel's talking about. She's a business etiquette consultant, trainer, speaker, etiquettetrainer.com. Quick break. We'll be right back.
What's your dream? Play golf every day of the week? Turn that hobby into a new career? With careful planning, you can make it happen. Call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your no-obligation consultation. At Holland Financial, we want to help you take the first step towards making your dreams a reality. That number again is 888-747-7526.
And we are back with Rachel Wagner, etiquette expert, consultant, trainer. Etiquettetrainer.com is the website. And I have to ask you about another thing I've heard is a very powerful technique. And again, this is not intended to be a gimmick or trick, but another way, and I've read this somewhere, and I'm sure you'll be familiar with it, that one of the most powerful ways to really, you know, there's different ways to compliment people or to let them know they matter to you. Mm-hmm. And one way to do that is, I'm not going to get the name of it just right, but it's like a third-party compliment where you say something nice about somebody, not necessarily to that person, but to somebody else, and it gets back to that person. It's almost more powerful than you're saying it yourself.
Absolutely. It really is. And
especially if it's the boss.
Exactly. And the thing is, people are, you know, our degrees of separation are fewer degrees than it used to be, I think. So those nice compliments do get back. So that's excellent.
Okay. Well, I just had to ask you about that. I only do it when I'm sincere about it, but I did it the other day in Publix. A deli counter person was helping me, and she went out of her way to do some things. And I found the store manager at the front before I left the store, and I told him. Because, you know, we got to recognize that. Okay. So, speaking of thank yous, okay, here's another thing that I wanted to ask you about. And that is, again, in our technological world of tweets and texts and instantaneous communication that is sometimes very sterile or just removed from that human contact, is there still a place in the business world of communicating with handwritten thank you notes?
Absolutely. I recently had a person I met professionally, and she and her company took me to their company suite in an entertainment center, and we were entertained there.
Wow.
Well, absolutely, I'm going to write a thank you note. So in business, thank you notes are very powerful. First of all, it differentiates you from someone else. It really makes people stand out. So let's say, for example, someone takes you to a business lunch for the first time or even infrequently, you know, maybe once every 6 months you meet with that person and they take you to lunch, you're the guest. You need to follow up with a thank you note, a handwritten thank you note. And what I like to say is address the envelope before you go, put a stamp on it, don't run it through a postage meter, and then when you get back from that business lunch, then you can handwrite the note, get it in that day's mail, they get it the next day. It's like, whoa.
Very nice.
You stand out.
And well, it just happened to me. I referred somebody to a business broker that was looking to buy a business, and so she sent me a personal handwritten note with her business card and a thank you for the effort, and you know, it came through, and my assistant handed it to me and said, this is for you from Kim, who sent you this note. It went right through and it got to me versus all the other mail that may come in and may go all different places or never reach my desk.
Exactly. And when you got that note, Kim stood out and you will remember Kim.
Absolutely.
Because of what she did. So that's why it's important in business, whether it's a referral, a job interview, someone entertained you in business. All of those things it's important to do a personal thank you note versus just an email thank you.
And you know what? That's so true. And you know what else, Rachel, is it takes more time. We have to slow down, especially me, when I'm going to write with in cursive with my left hand and try not to smear the ink. It takes more time. And cursive is a very quickly lost art. They're not even teaching it in elementary school anymore. It's all about the keyboard. So it just stands out that you can actually write a handwritten note nicely. People appreciate it.
They do, and it will put a smile on anyone's face when they get that handwritten thank you note.
And again, not a gimmick, but when you take the time to do that they feel very important.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Because everybody knows how busy everybody is. The technology has not given us, you know, 8 hours a day of leisure time. We've just filled up that 8 hours with other stuff.
Exactly. And I like to say, too, that no one is too busy to write a handwritten thank you note. It's just that you have to make it a priority that's going to be, this is who I am. I'm a person who writes these notes.
Well, that you nailed it. What we do defines us, and whatever you make a priority defines who you are and what you're about.
Yes.
Very interesting stuff and very helpful. I want to go to, if we had time, and I'm glad we do, I wanted to get, well, let's do this. Let's take a quick break, and we'll come back and do this. We got a couple minutes extra that I want to ask you about office cubicle etiquette, which is a whole new different thing for the workforce. Rachel Wagner is our guest today, ladies and gentlemen. She's a business etiquette consultant, trainer, and speaker. Etiquettetrainer.com. Quick break. We'll be right back.
There are hundreds of annuities available in today's marketplace. How can you know if one is right for you? Certified financial planner David Holland answers this question and more in his educational booklet on annuities. To get your free copy, call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN. The annuity booklet provides a plain English explanation of the different types of annuities so you can decide if one is a good fit for your situation. Again, that number is 888-747-7526.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We have Rachel Wagner with us today, business etiquette consultant. EtiquetteTrainer.com is the website. EtiquetteTrainer.com. Okay, I kind of prompted you there for the last couple minutes we have together, Rachel, is I want to ask you, especially in these large companies where you have, you know, these modular workspace, also called a cubicle, are there some extra rules or ways of maintaining some privacy or, you know, being respectful of others and just making those things all that they can be without it feeling like everybody's on top of everybody and there's no privacy at all?
Right. Well, you know, for people that work in cubicles, David, they realize there's positives and negatives. They know that, hey, we're more connected, there's more of a sense of camaraderie. But the downside, there is a lack of privacy, there's a lot of interruptions, and there's an increased noise level. So everybody wants to be able to dwell together productively and neighborly. So there's a couple of ground rules I'll share with you. And the first one is really to respect privacy. You know, sometimes people think just because there's no door on a cubicle, they can just, you know, waltz in to ask a question or to chat with someone. And sometimes they don't realize this person is busy. They may be on their phone working on a project. They're very focused. So the thing you want to do here is just knock softly on the cubicle wall. A lot of people don't realize that it's important to do that.
There's actual space there. That's why there's a wall.
That's right, and you can just knock softly, whether it's a padded wall or whatever, or you can just announce yourself. I could say, if you were in a cubicle, I could say, excuse me, David, do you have a minute? And, you know, obviously you would acknowledge me in some way, you know, to let me know whether this is a good time or if I should come back. So always, never, you know, always just enter someone's cubicle with permission. And also, the other thing with privacy is respecting people's things. I don't know how many people I've had tell me that things just tend to walk away from your cubicles, and I've even had a high-up person in a bank who had a pretty open cubicle, big office area, and she even had to label her stapler, her scissors, and her pens because people would just waltz in and walk off with things. So you want to respect that as well. You also want to remember that distractions in a cubicle can affect other people around you. So let's say, for example, if someone likes to listen to music on Spotify or on their computer, Pandora, that you make sure you're using earbuds so that your music's not distracting someone else. And then sometimes just simply the ringing of a phone can be very distracting. Sometimes people will let it ring and ring because they're focused on something they're writing, but it's really professional, number one, to answer a phone on the first or second ring, but also by answering it quickly, that ringing is just not annoying other people around you. And this kind of goes back to the cell phone. Sometimes if people have their personal cell phone on their desk, and let's say they walk down the hall to get a cup of coffee and that cell phone rings, again, that can be very annoying. So you want to just be mindful of just your own distractions of noise levels. And another complaint I get when I do trainings on workplace etiquette, and this comes up often, is that people say, oh, you know, people are just, they have these little impromptu conversations right outside the cubicles,
yeah,
and they don't realize that those little brainstorming sessions are disrupting a lot of people in that area. So I like to remind people there just to take those little impromptu meetings off to a private conference room where you're not distracting the people that are truly trying to get their work done.
Very good. Rachel, we're going to have to leave it right there. Rachel Wagner has been our guest today, ladies and gentlemen, business etiquette consultant, etiquettetrainer.com. Rachel, we'll have to have you back to keep us on the right path. Thanks for being on the program.
Thank you so much for having me, David.
My pleasure. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Want to learn more about Real Money with David Holland? Visit us at realmoneyradio.com, where you can listen live or to the archives. You can also email us your questions, comments, or show ideas to info@realmoneyradio.com. Be sure to like us on Facebook at Real Money with David Holland and keep up with Scott Connor by following us on Twitter at Real Money Radio.
Real Remember, nobody cares more about your money than you do. This has been Real Money with David Holland. Thank you for listening.